Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
You know, the Christmas season is approaching, and as a part of the Christmas season, we generally hear and talk about angels. And of course, in our auditorium here, our predecessors in this building had angels painted on the walls, so we see angels every Sunday when we come in here. But they're an integral part of the Bible, and they're an integral part of the birth and the story of the birth of Messiah. Luke chapter 1, verses 11 through 12, it says, "Then appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him." So at the beginning of the story of birth of Messiah, we find Zacharias, who an angel appears to. And he is told that his wife, who is up in years, is going to have a son. And of course, he finds it a little hard to believe, probably just about the same way that Abraham did several thousand years prior, that his wife, who was up in years, was going to have a son. But an angel, we found, appeared to him and announced to him the birth of this child that was going to take place. So, and then we find in chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, and it says, "And in the sixth month," now that's not talking about the sixth month of the year necessarily, it's talking in the sixth month of the pregnancy of Elizabeth, "that in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, to a fianced to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." So again, within a six-month period, we find another angel, the same angel as a matter of fact, appearing to this young woman and telling her, "Behold, you are going to have a child." And she goes on and she says, "Well, there's a little problem here. I'm not married yet. How can this be?" Well, he goes on and begins to tell her what is going to take place. And as we skip into the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 20, and it says, and this is Joseph here, "But while he thought these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, the son of David, fear not to take Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Now, just kind of fill in a few things here. Joseph was a little bit confused. He's engaged to Mary, and suddenly he finds out she's going to have a baby, and it shouldn't be. And he's thinking, "Well, maybe I'll just have her, you know, kind of privately put away, and we'll kind of, you know, hide this a little bit or something." But the angel says, "Don't be afraid to take her as your wife, because that is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. Go ahead with the plan, Joseph." Then in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we find angels one more time where it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch by night over their flocks. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." It was kind of interesting because as I begin to study for today's message, God began to put the thought about speaking about angels upon my heart, and it's probably not going to turn out the way you think it's going to, but as he began to speak to my heart, I find out Mary got up a little bit earlier this morning. She turned on the TV, was watching Ron Phillips from Abba's house over in, I think it's in the Chattanooga area, or somewhere over in that area, and maybe it's in Georgia, I don't know. But anyway, he was preaching about angels, and I know that her lesson this morning in Children's Church is on angels, and I thought, boy, it's all about these angels this morning. But you know, the fact is the word angel is found in the King James Version 201 times. That's just the singular word angel. The plural angels is found 94 times. Now, I tell you this to establish the fact that from God's holy word, angels are real. Anybody here believe in angels? Anybody here not believe in angels? I think we probably all do. Some people have had visitations from angels. I have an acquaintance who says that he's had visitations from angels on numerous occasions. I've heard and spoken to other people, or know of other people that have had visitations who believe that they have seen an angel. I remember a lady in the church I was associate pastor at back many years ago, and she was talking about an accident that they were in and how she believes that an angel came and helped direct the traffic and take care of things and keep them safe until the authorities arrived. And of course, I've told you the story of the time that I believe that we were visited by an angel when we were on our way to Arkansas. The car overheated at midnight, basically outside the city of Albuquerque, New Mexico, as we're going uphill. There's nobody stopping for us. Nobody cares that we're pulled off the side. And out of nowhere comes a little old pickup truck bouncing along, pulls right up to us, stops. The guy gets out, tells me the problem is my radiator. Gets a 5-gallon can or a jerry can, which you normally carry gas in, brings it over and pours it into my radiator and says, go down the road so many miles, the man there will fix the car for you. He got back in his truck and bounced off into nowhere. I believe I had a visitation. Other people have had visitations. I remember, and it's a church I attended as a young person, they had remodeled their building. They had expanded it, and what they did, as some churches do when they have an expansion plan, they will take and add on to each side of the existing auditorium and expand it out that way. And that's what this church had done, and they expanded from a church that seated about, roughly 300-400 people to about 999. I remember that figure because it had to do with the fire codes. And they expanded out to that size. And one night during the service, somebody told one of the deacons, she said, I saw some angels in the church tonight. And she said, they were up in the balcony area, but they were up against the ceiling. They were pressed up against the ceiling. And I believe I remember the story correctly. Somebody else told them as well that they had seen it taking place. And then they saw it, I believe, a second time. And finally, one of the gentlemen in the church was a contractor, and they decided, well, maybe we better examine that area of the church building. So they went up in the attic area and found out that one of the support beams had cracked. And the church was in imminent danger of collapse in that area. God revealed the problem to them. They fixed the building. Everything was okay. Nobody was hurt. They never saw them there again. And I also realize a lot of us, when we think of angels, we think of them as the pretty little things with wings that are flying along, and a lot of times long golden or blonde hair, we always kind of think of them in a feminine form. But the scripture, to burst your bubble there, if that's the way you think about them, the scripture always refers to them in the masculine form. Bible also goes on to indicate that really they are neither male nor female, but they always appeared in masculine form in the scripture. Angels typically in the scripture appeared to look like, many times, like regular men. But we also find that some of the angels were pretty scary looking. So a lot of times if we saw some of the angels, it probably scare us. If we saw some of them that the Bible talks about, especially those that have four faces and all these other things that it describes a part of them. So we know that there's also multiple types of angels. It's kind of interesting because, and this is really kind of what got me started about this message. This past week at the memorial service for Nelson Mandela in South Africa, there was quite some controversy regarding the man who was hired to do the sign language interpretation. I didn't watch any of it, so all I saw was pictures that were posted on the internet. And basically they said he stood there and he waved his hands around, but his sign language that he was giving was meaningless, just as what I'm doing right now is meaningless. I mean, I can make all kinds of gestures with my hands, and you have no idea what I was saying there, do you? I don't either, because it was meaningless. Well, and when they begin to question him, he says, what happened that day? I see angels come into the stadium. And he said he was distracted by hallucinations and fear turning violent. And he stood there with these world leaders and insisting that he was using proper sign language. He saw angels. And a lot of times when we think about angels, how many remember the program that used to be on TV, Touched by an Angel? Cute little stories. Everybody turned out, though, being a good guy in the end. You know, when they got through doing their work, you know, everybody was a good person, all this stuff. Although I have to remember, if I do remember correctly, there were a couple of episodes they had an evil angel in there as well. But a lot of us don't think about that. There's more than just the good angels that the Bible talks about. There are those that are affiliated with the enemy. Did you stop to think about that? The Bible tells us that when Lucifer fell from heaven, he took a third of the angels with him. A third of them are bad guys, if you want to put it that way. They're on the side of the enemy. So, let's talk a little bit more about some angels here. He said, I hear voices. And this is one of the things that he talks about. This gentleman who was doing the sign language, and I use that word loosely there, interpretation the other way. I hear voices. Because he believed that I think that these angels were speaking to him. And he says, sometimes I see things chasing me. The enemy of our soul has beings out there that are spiritual beings that are after us. They're trying to trick us. They're trying to lead us astray. They're trying to lead us down the wrong path. Now, I inserted a warning here, and it reads like this, warning. Remember, there used to be a program on TV years ago, it's called Lost in Space, and they had a robot that said, warning, warning, Will Robinson, warning. Well, I'm giving you a warning here. Some of what I have to say may offend some people. I hope it doesn't offend you, but it may offend some people that are listening to this message somewhere. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, at no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. The devil himself is transformed into an angel of light. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24 goes on to say, there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders so that if they were possible, they should deceive the very elect. The Bible warns us as Christians. It gives us a warning that we are not to take everything that we see at face value. We may see an angel, but we need to know that that angel is from God and not from the enemy. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 tells us, but though that we, Paul speaking of men like himself, the apostles, the evangelists, those that were preaching the gospel at his time and in the time to come, he said, though we or an angel from heaven preach unto you otherwise than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. If they are not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ as it is according to God's word, let them be accursed. That's what the Bible has to say to us. It is a warning message that is given to us. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach unto you otherwise than that you have received, let him be accursed. There's warnings there that there are going to be individuals, there are going to be beings out there that are going to try to mislead you and preach a false gospel unto you. And the sad thing is we are living in an age today when false gospels run rampantly and are being preached abundantly unto the masses. And people fall for them hook, line, and sinker. And it's amazing sometimes how you think, can people fall for this? And they say, oh, well, you know, they were uneducated people, they were poor people, they were this or they were... No, it's not that group of people that's falling for most of it. It is those that are educated, it's those that are affluent, sometimes that are falling for the false gospels the most. Now, I'm going to name a name here, it's not in my sermon. I'm going to name it anyway. one of the biggest ones that's going on around the world, most affluent anyway, that it's as false a gospel as you can possibly get, is that of Scientology. And we've heard a bit about it in the news lately. L. Ron Hubbard was a science fiction writer. He was the founder and creator of Scientology. It's all a big science fiction hoax. I worked with some people at one time who were members of Scientology, and I heard them talking about the stuff. And believe you, any one of us could probably go out in our garage and find some stuff and put it together and come up with the same instruments that they're using to fool people. It's a false gospel. If there is any gospel other than what is in God's Word, it is a false gospel. 1 John 4:1 says, "Dearly beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, for many false prophets are gone out into the world." There's some things going on right now. Anybody here ever hear of Emma the Angel? Emma the Angel. Only heard of it from me. That's good. That's the only place you've heard of it. Emma the Angel, and you probably have heard of an evangelist or a preacher by the name of Todd Bentley. Been very controversial. Emma the Angel appeared to Todd Bentley, and she told him, "Todd, this revival isn't about Jesus. This revival is about getting people to believe in me, Emma the Angel." Uh-oh, let's go back up here to Galatians 1, 8, and 9. What did it say? "If an angel from heaven preached you any other gospel, it be accursed." Emma the Angel also, we're told, I did some research on that this week, carried bags with her, pulling out of these bags gold dust. And as she walked up and down the aisles of the church, she began sprinkling gold dust upon the people in the congregation. You think, man, I got to go to that church and get me some of that gold dust. It's been taken to jewelers. And one jeweler made the comment, "Well, it's worth something, but you got to have a whole great big pot of it to be worth anything at all." And there's churches in our area that are doing that. And the thing that really makes me feel really, really sad about it is the denomination I grew up in. A lot of the people involved in it came out of that denomination. During another incident, a visitation of Emma the Angel, the pastor's wife, as it says here, and I'm reading this correct from a product or a newsletter called the Berean Call. It says, "The pastor's wife got totally whacked by the Holy Ghost." She began running around barking like a dog and squawking like a chicken. I'll tell you, you go to any church service, somebody starts barking like a dog or squawking like a chicken or some other animal, and if they don't set them down and tell them they're out of order, you better get up and get out of there yourself, because you're among some false doctrine and some false teaching. Yes, I've seen people dance in the Spirit. I've seen people praise God. And I've seen people do some things that people thought were a little bit strange. And they were being moved upon by the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost never, is there anywhere in Scripture that says He's going to make you act like an animal? And in some cases, they hiss like snakes. Boy, that tells me something right there for sure. Again, this was in a church of the movement I came out of. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:40, "Let all things be done decently and in order." Decently. I looked that up. I like to look these words up sometimes and find out exactly how many different ways they could have been translated. And in looking it up, I find out that as I read it in the Geneva Bible, it says, let all things be done honestly and by order. Honestly can also be defined truthfully. Let them all be done truthfully. Well, the truth is, if you're barking like a dog or squawking like a chicken, you're not being filled with the Holy Spirit. You're being filled with a spirit, okay, but the wrong one. And of course, there's another manifestation that's been going on lately called angel feathers. Anybody heard of that one besides me? Well, in this particular thing, besides the gold dust, angels or feathers that are purportedly to be angel feathers begin floating down. I read an article that somewhere the preacher's wife got caught putting them in the air conditioning duct. But the big giveaway here is, as I said, in this building, somebody years ago painted a mural on the wall of an angel that has wings, and it looks like the wings have feathers. But read the Bible. It only talks about certain angels having wings, number one. Most of them don't. And number two, nowhere does it say that they have feathers. And it's of my opinion, if the angels are floating around up there and they do have feathers on their wing, they're not molting either. Angels, I don't believe, have feathers that float around in the service. My guess would be if you took one of those angel feathers to somebody and had it analyzed, you'd find out it was some kind of bird that we're familiar with or artificially made. I preached a couple of weeks ago a message called One More Time. And in that message, it was about the still, small voice. Do you hear voices? Remember I talked about the guy just a few minutes ago that was doing the sign language interpretation, which turned out to be a fraud? Said, I hear voices. A lot of people that are in mental institutions hear voices. And you say, uh-oh, where's this going now? Because I hear voices. As a child of God, God speaks to you, and the vast majority of the time, I don't want to put a percentage on it because I don't know what it is, but I would say it's a huge percentage of the time when God speaks to you, he does not do it in an audible voice where he says, Larry, I've got a word for you. He speaks to you, as the Bible says, in that still, small voice that we hear in our mind. And guess what? The devil speaks to us the same way sometimes. And a still small voice that we hear in our mind. Why do you think somebody came up with the idea of an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other shoulder trying to give you instructions? Because they realized, and we're putting out a fact here, that we are spoken to by both sides. We have to know God's voice. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And I know sometimes the devil, the Bible tells us the devil's a sly person. In fact, there's a little kid's song we used to sing in children's church, the devil is a sly old fox. If I could catch him, I'd put him in a box. I'd lock the box and throw away the key for all the tricks he's played on me. And he tries to get to us sometimes. And I told you last year about some of the experience I went through while I was in the hospital. I literally almost had like the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other shoulder speaking to me. One telling me one thing, the other telling me the other thing, until finally God spoke to me so plain that I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt it was God's voice telling me not to worry about it. He was in control. First Corinthians 14:10 says, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without significance. Yes, if we're all honest, we all hear voices. Does that mean we all need to be locked up in a mental institution? No way. What puts us there sometimes is how we listen to those voices and the ones that we are obedient to. If we are obedient to the voice of God, everything is going to work out okay. Even though at the time it may seem like the odds are all stacked against us and there's no hope and no way out, but if we follow the voice of God, He will make a way. I was reading an article in preparation for this message about beware of angelic visitations, because some of the angelic visitations are not angels from God. And in this, in part of his article, he said, sometimes you got to trust your gut. The Bible says if we have the Holy Spirit in us, He will give us guidance. He will give us knowledge. He will give us the wisdom we need. We've got to trust what the Holy Spirit puts in our heart and lays upon us when we have to come against these things. Colossians 3:15 says, and I read this from the Complete Jewish Bible, and let the shalom, what is shalom? It is the peace which comes from the Messiah, be your heart's decision maker. When you make the decision based upon the peace that God has given you, what God has laid upon your heart, you will have peace. I know that last year when I was going through that, even though it didn't come exactly immediately, because I was still tormented a little bit, I'll have to tell you that, and I'll be honest about it. I knew what was the right decision. But I was also under a lot of other pressures, and I still couldn't handle certain things at the time. But I also had peace knowing that God was in control and God was going to work everything out. And quite frankly, you folks that are here know that God worked a miracle on our behalf last year. Everybody I talk to and tell about it says it's a miracle. But God gives you that peace. If you make the wrong decision, you are not, you might have a false sense of security for a moment, but it's going to start to fall apart. Your world's going to collapse around you, because the devil is not to bring you peace. He's to bring you destruction. He's to bring you everything that is going to be harmful to you. Let me read that verse completely now. And let the shalom which comes from the Messiah be your heart's decision maker. For this is why you were called to be part of a single body, and be thankful. What are we? Part of the body? We're part of the body of Christ. We are part. And we can have peace. The devil didn't come to give peace. He came to destroy. He came to cause disruption. He came to cause heartache. Jesus came to bring peace. And when it comes from God, you will have peace. Peace beyond anything that you can imagine. When that peace comes from God. Father, I thank you today that you love us so much that part of your gift that you gave to us, that we celebrate in a few days as we celebrate the birth of Messiah. Father, not only did he come that he would grow into an adult and then sacrifice his life on the cross of Calvary for forgiveness of our sin, but that through that and the gift that he brought us, he also brought us peace. I'm thankful for that today, for all that you've done for us. And if you're listening to me today by internet or by CD, and you don't have peace in your heart, you're fighting a battle, you're struggling, get that peace from God that only He can give, the peace that passes all understanding by simply turning your heart and your life over to Jesus Christ and saying, Jesus, I'm yours. You gave yourself for me 2,000 years ago. Today, I give myself to you. And when we give ourselves to God, we will have that peace. Father, I thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.